got a few headlines. What have we got?
I thought we'd start with obviously some of the most pressing news in Iran, with this week President Donald Trump celebrating a double tap strike on a highway bridge linking Tehran to Karaj on Thursday, sharing a video of the attack that killed 8 people and wounded 95. The second strike occurred as rescue workers responded to the initial strike, according to the Iranian Fars news agency. And Iranian officials told state media that the casualties were civilians who had gathered beneath the bridge and along the riverbank to celebrate Nature Day in Iran.
Oh my God.
The unfinished bridge intended to connect Tehran to the Caspian Sea. And Donald Trump is quoted saying on social media, "The biggest bridge in Iran comes tumbling down, never to be used again. Much more to follow." All in caps, "It's time for Iran to make a deal before it is too late, and there is nothing left of what still could become a great country." That's according to Trump's social media. Just to give you an idea of the sort of lack of plan that the Trump administration is looking to in resolving this illegal aggression against Iran. And this week, all the 40 foreign ministers from 40 different countries met to discuss the reopening and navigation of the Strait of Hormuz after Iran seized control of the route following the US-Israeli strikes. The United States did not participate, and European nations who previously had declined to contribute to a naval mission are reportedly considering reversing that stance, with Britain and France leading a potential coalition. The French, however, are not committing to any forcible reopening, with Macron telling the media on Thursday that a forcible reopening would be unrealistic, might take years, and would leave ships exposed to Iranian attacks. That's left what Iran has now claimed, the Strait of Hormuz, imposing a tax, and for the first time for the petrodollar, it is taking payment only in yuan, in Chinese yuan.
Oh, that's interesting. So this is going to have a knock-on effect with the money markets. One of the most... if you go back into the distant past of history, one of the little tidbits from the Iraq attack on Iraq was that it happened just as Saddam Hussein was moving his country's dependence on the American, the US currency. Which is an interesting element to this whole thing. War affects people on the ground, and of course it's of no use for working class people and others to go to war. But of course these kind of headlines make it clear that this is about the big end of town and their money making efforts. That's what they're playing chess, and while ordinary people are dying. Basically.
Yeah, that's exactly right, especially as we see global food prices rise with the cost of war in Iran, as well as the energy costs. Obviously, we saw this week Prime Minister Anthony Albanese give a national address on Wednesday night.
Being very American,
and also this week during question time when Senator Nick McKim from Tasmania from the Australian Greens pressed Penny Wong about the government's inaction on regulating the fuel market like it had done previously last year with the supermarkets. Penny Wong, in complete Zionist fashion, responded that the actual analysis was that the energy crisis was caused by Iran, bombing their neighbours. And that's what precipitated the energy crisis, not an illegal war launched by the United States and Israel, not Australia's immediate and unquestioning support the very same day of the war. None of these things, but actually that it was Iran's problem.
That's pretty gobsmacking. I've got a few reports coming out of America from Payday Report, which is a fabulous work. It's a consistent, ongoing reporting of workers' news across America. One of the things that they reported was that across the United States, immigrant rights protesters have been targeting the hotels where ICE is staying. Now Unite Here, which is a union, Unite Here, Local 11, the union that represents 32,000 workers in Southern California and Arizona, is instructing union members not to work at locations where ICE is present. Using workplace safety contract provisions, Unite Here, Local 11, is arguing that members can refuse to work when ICE is present because ICE represents, in inverted commas, unusually dangerous conditions. Our members should not be forced into the middle of a heavily armed enforcement operation. Unite Here, co-president Kurt Peterson wrote in a letter to union members this week, "Our contract guarantees a safe workplace, and if hotels and stadiums choose to allow ICE in onto their properties, our workers have the right to work at, to walk out." That was one element to the working class response to what's going on in Trump land. Another one was this interesting little tidbit, which is about Navy shipyard workers' strike. As the US Navy is under pressure in the war on Iran, more than 600 workers employed by the military contractor General Dynamics are on strike at the Navy's main repair facilities, Bath Iron Works in Maine. General Dynamics continues to make record profits off our labour and gives away billions every year through stock buybacks and dividends, while many of our members live paycheck to paycheck, Union President Trent Falila said in a statement. With this company's proposal, General Dynamics is continuing to show that corporate earnings per share are more important than our members' earnings. And patiently sticking out. Oh, no, no, that's it. So they've basically gone on strike, basically.
That's not all. Just to link it up back to your the ICE story you had, there's been a testimony on Dropside that Dropside News collected regarding one of the Palestinian support. The campuses, the campus protests in America that was detained by ICE for over half a year. Leka Cordia, 33-year-old from New Jersey, was arrested during the protests at Columbia University and told MS Now that immigration authorities chained her to a hospital bed following a seizure she suffered while in ICE detention, where she was held for more than half a year.
Oh my God.
Her testimony is quite chilling, and you can find it all online. We'll link everything in the podcast. But I just wanted to highlight as well that there's been a news item that came up that has been kind of haunting me all week, where it's that the U.S. embassy has officially signed a document with the Secretary of State Marco Rubio signing a cable on Monday directing U.S. embassies and consulates in the world to launch coordinated campaigns against foreign propaganda and endorsing Elon Musk's X platform as an, quote, innovative counter-disinformation tool and instructing diplomatic staff to coordinate with the U.S. Military Psychological Operations Unit. This is all reported by The Guardian. Embassies were directed to recruit local influencers, academics, and community leaders to carry counter-propaganda messaging in ways to designed to appear locally organic rather than centrally directed by Washington. This cable specifically endorses X's Community Notes feature as a crowdsourced instrument for countering anti-American propaganda without compromising free speech and privacy.
Yeah, no wonder you're having bad dreams about that. I mean, this, if you're a sci-fi reader, you will see that we're now opening a door and we're walking into Philip K. Dick land.
Yeah, absolutely, absolutely we are. Look, not to end it all on...
we've got some... there's some good news, actually. This came out of America as well. With many farmers complaining about a shortage of immigrant farm workers, the Trump administration is proposing to allow more guest workers into the country. Guest workers, whose visas are tied to their employers, have long been exploited, as they are in Australia. However, in North Carolina, the North Carolina Justice Center just won a major victory on behalf of H20, H2020 to a guest workers. Workers there won $315,000 in wage theft case against Rhodes Farming. Two named plaintiffs, Mr. Lopez and Mr. Flores Lozana, brought their lawsuit as a class action, alleging that Lee and Sons paid them and their co-workers less than the hourly wage promised in the H2A job contract, violating standard state and federal wage and hour laws. They also alleged that the farm did not properly reimburse them for inbound travel expenses, resulting in additional wage violations. This is all stuff that happens in Australia. So we are so happy to have reached this result for our clients and all the class members. The wage violations and H2A contract violations they experience are unfortunately not unique, said Clermont Ripley, director of the Workers' Rights Project at North Carolina Justice Center. The willingness of Mr. Lopez and Mr. Flores Lozano to bravely challenge their employer's behavior set and patiently stick out this litigation in order to get relief for their co-workers and not just themselves is inspiring. And the other little bit of news, which is kind of positive, is that that scoundrel Duterte from former president of the Philippines, Rodrigo Duterte's pre-trial hearing from The Hague started in Quezon City, the Philippines, on the 23rd of February. Proceedings at the International Criminal Court in late February offered a rare glimpse of accountability at a moment when global norms feels increasingly fragile. For families of those killed in the drug war, watching tearfully from the public gallery, this hearing marked the first real step towards justice after years of violence, denial and dehumanisation of their loved ones. A panel, a three-judge panel, women from Romania, Mexico and Benin, hear arguments from prosecutors, victims, counsels and Duterte's defence lawyers. Their task was not to determine guilt but to assess whether there is sufficient evidence for the case against Duterte to proceed to trial. This is how difficult it is to bring these people down in a legal sense. The case focuses on 49 incidents of alleged murder and attempted murder involving 78 victims, including children, between November 2011 and March 2019, when the ICC still had jurisdiction over the Philippines. On March 2018, soon after the former ICC prosecutor announced a preliminary inquiry into the situation of the Philippines, Duterte withdrew the Philippines from the court's membership, which came finally 1 year later. The case against Duterte covers his tenure as mayor of Davao City in the southern Philippines and the period after he was elected president in 2016. The prosecutors emphasised that the specific incidents they focused on represent only a fraction of the thousands of killings attributed to police and hired hitmen during Duterte's anti-drug campaign. Also, the political contest is also fraught. Sending Duterte to The Hague may have suited the current president, Ferdinand Marcos Jr., allowing him to distance himself from the bloodiest excesses of his predecessor. But several of Duterte's alleged co-perpetrators, senior police officers and officials who helped transplant Davao City's neutralisation strategies, this language that they use, neutralisation strategies, to the national stage, still wield influence or have gone into hiding. And as a sort of a throwback to the attacks on young Aboriginal people in Northern Territory and Dondale, the Davao death squads targeted street children. This is in 2009. Targeted street children, petty criminals, and drug suspects when he was mayor. And so he was able to get away with this murderous assault on the citizens of the Philippines for at least a decade.
Yeah, and look, I just find a couple of final things that we can bring from Italy as well is that the referendum to change the judiciary into a centrally controlled one by this government has failed. making them all run with their tail between their legs. And staring down the barrel of actually maybe demissions and stepping out of politics for some of them, as well as this week saw Italy's defense minister. Shame on him, but he is not allowing the U.S. Military to land its planes in their military U.S. base, in the U.S. military base in Sicily, saying that it wasn't within the planned logistics and that it was actually going to be in active combat in Iran. And so they refused that case because Italy's realizing that it is in